Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Kimberly Osgood, your host of Smart Money Moves. And our topic today is things you must be, do, and have to bring your mission to life. And our special guest today is Ms. Deborah Mays with Mission CFO LLC. Good afternoon, Deborah. How are you?
Good afternoon, Kimberly. I'm doing fine today.
Good, good. I'm so glad you agreed to be a guest today. This is a very interesting topic.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Now, as I mentioned, our topic is things you must be, do, and have to bring your mission to life. But before we discuss our topic, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, about your business, what you do, and how you got started.
Yes, I must say that I am a being and not a doing. I'd have to say that I'm really curious, I guess all my life, about how the different disciplines and different arenas of life really come together and harmonize. And now I can say, because I understand more, how your spiritual life, your personal life, your professional life all come together, you know, for the greatest satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'd have to say that I've had kind of two tracks to my life, the professional life, because, of course, that's something you must do because you must make a living. You know, as you know, when you're sitting on an airplane or anywhere else, people say, oh, what do you do? What do you do? But at the same time, there's a personal side to everyone that has to manifest and track alongside what you do professionally. But professionally, what I did, I guess I'd have to say in hindsight that I started being a financial manager even in kindergarten. When I gave thought to it, I'd have to say that I started by collecting the milk money from the students. And if the students didn't have it, I'd go to the parents. I'd go to the curb in front of the school and get it from the parents. So I was in collections early on. And then after just showing, I guess, expressing my talents of who I was as a being and not a doing, I was chosen to be a lead cafeteria cashier in middle school. I helped to run the student store, became an accountant later on in college. And at the tender age of 18, I was a bookkeeper already as an intern in a large men's clothing retailer operation. And then after I graduated college, I did enter as a budget analyst, entry level into government. And I started not just as the budget analyst, but also was co-running a program for the pharmacy for the entire LA County. And just through the years, went up the ladder and started being the chief of accounting and did all the accounting for 40 LA County clinics. So that was a big job, $250 million and plus growing to do that. But in between, like I said, I had a parallel track where I was a part-time parent. I guess I'd have to say I was in the sandwich generation at that time, because I was the parent at the same time was a caregiver. I guess many people my age and really any of us could find ourselves in that situation. It was challenging, but I learned a lot, which I can say just grew me as a person. And some of those lessons I even learned and use in my profession.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also, during my years at L.A. County, I took a break and won a full scholarship in order to get my master's in business administration from Peter Drucker Center. So I was able to go through that and matriculate through that process and become a, I would say, a large staffing agency financial analyst in between, and did some things for Union Oil. So that I was learning along the way, kind of on the job. And then once I did graduate with my MBA, I decided to be not just operational, but I became a consultant type. I was still in an operational position, but I learned that my time at the Drucker Center School of Business really helped me develop as a consultant. And I was a consultant type at various nonprofits, a few small businesses, and also I did some volunteer board membership and advisory council type of work with some community operations also. So all in all, I guess that gave me some technical skills along the way and also some soft skills. Like I said, I was on that double track where I became not just a supervisor and a manager, but an inspirational leader. That was really one of my goals that I had, and I enjoy that. I enjoy that quite a bit.
Okay, sounds great. Now, you recently moved over. You now have your organization, Mission CFO LLC. When did that start?
Yes, I'm still in the period of launching that. I just recently retired from my W-2 position. And right now I'm using Mission CFO LLC as a platform to really grow companies that yield goodwill. The accountants out there know that goodwill is a accounting term, so that when those businesses are sold, then goodwill is a premium or the added amount that people will pay in order to buy that company. So I like to grow companies that could afford a premium in the market if they were sold or inherited maybe by family members or handed off to the next generation. And they can book that goodwill. It can be evident on the book, but also it's because it gives a societal contribution also. So that's really my passion right now.
And so you're really enjoying that right now. That's good. That's your passion. It's always good to enjoy what you do in life.
Definitely. So I've got to check all the boxes to get it fully launched. But I'm enjoying that quite a bit.
Okay, great. Now, our topic today is you must be, do, and have to bring your mission to life. Explain that concept to our audience.
Yes. Quite accidentally, I learned through my own life experience that be, do, and have is a concept of growth that's really embedded in universal law of growth. It's a progressive process where people always want to have something, but they don't think about how to get there all the time. Sometimes media and the world and the voices out there that you hear from family, friends, or in social media will tell you how to get it. But I've learned that to be, to do, and to have is the way to go. For instance, you have to be something in your heart, actually now. And then after that, you start doing the things that that person would do. And then quite, I would say accidentally or organically, then you start having what you really were desiring in the first place. For example, I learned this early on by watching my brother. I know I'm going to date myself this time. But, of course, my brother wanted this certain girlfriend. He was on the football team. And this sounds like a story maybe off of the old school television. But he wanted this girl and wanted to be her boyfriend. So he worked the hardest way he could to save up, and he got his 57 Chevy. So he had the 57 Chevy in order to, and again, let me repeat, that's the have, because that's what he wanted. He wanted to become that boyfriend, but he had the car. So he got the car first in order to, I would say, be cool or to show off, and that's the do part, so that he could become that girl's boyfriend. That didn't work in the end. I had to laugh at it, of course. But that's what that was my first encounter of really analyzing what he had done. And then, of course, I started seeing the same scenario, you know, over and over. Mm-hmm. But I've learned through my life experience that through watching one of the nerds, and I have to, excuse me if I'm offending anybody, but I think everybody knows what a nerd is. Usually the person that is not following the crowd, is not, you know, showing exhibits of being cool and things like that. They're focused on being a responsible adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
That's what they want to become. And that's what their focus is. So what do they do? They actually have associates with good friends who are like them. They usually learn about what they want to become, what they desire to become. Let's say they study. If they're in high school, they study a lot. And then they may have some corresponding actions that have to do with just being and doing activities that are outside of what a normal, I won't say normal, what a typical teenager might do. And then what will they have? They will end up having the developed talent that gives them the most money, the most earning power of all their students in the class that they graduated with, and probably a good, loving wife.
Yeah, that is true. That is really true.
That's the difference.
Okay.
I mean, and we see it. We see it so often. In other examples, I just want to bring up one that I had to learn myself.
You know what? Before you go into that second one, we're going to take a quick moment and recognize one of our sponsors. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, Microsoft. The Microsoft mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Microsoft believes technology is a powerful force for good, and are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. Microsoft believes technology can and should be a powerful force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and small ways. Thank you for your support, Microsoft, and all of our sponsors and partners. Well, we're back to Smart Money Moves, and with us today is Ms. Deborah Mays with Mission CFO LLC. And before we took our break, she was talking about the whole concept of that we must be, do, and have. Now, you were going to continue with another example?
Yes, just one more example, and I'll make this one personal. I was considering a tummy tuck, and I don't want to dissuade anyone else. Like I said, this is my own personal journey and how I had to look at it. So, of course, I had to ask myself, you know, why do I want the tummy tuck? Well, I wanted to have health. That's
right.
What I wanted to have. But, of course, I had to actually look at the reasons, what I had to do in order to get it done, and what would I be able to what would I be doing if I had it. I'd really just be showing off my clothes and showing off my body. You know, I have to be honest. So the track that I'm on now as of last fall, in order to get a fit body, and at my age, I've learned a new word, longevity. I need to put some longevity in my life, some years in my life.
Right.
So what do I need to be? I need to be healthy in my mind. I need to have a healthy mindset. That's what I need to be. What do I need to do? I have been on a weekly basis, if not even more frequently, learning the laws of nutrition, laws of biology. I've been exercising. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
But I'm getting more fit and more fit. I did not have to go for a surgery on my knee, and I'm starting to get the benefits already of having what I want by having a healthy mindset.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I understand. Okay, that sounds good. Now, in regards to an organization, these organizations that you go into, the nonprofit, explain that concept in regards to a nonprofit wanting to bring their mission to life, the be, do, and have.
Exactly, exactly. Let's say a nonprofit really wants to do their mission in a big way. That's what they want to have, okay?
Right.
So what they really will start out doing, they'll start out, let's say they will compete with other nonprofits because out there in the world, grants are very competitive.
Right.
They will actually be proud that they're, you know, bigger than one another nonprofit or serve more people than another nonprofit. But I would say rather than that, they should activate the be, do, have concept. They should actually make sure that they're very purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have the mind, keep in mind of all of their values, their mission, and their objectives. And then they have to focus on those and make tactical plans that will actually support the values and the mission so that they don't drift. There's a term called mission drift or mission creep, where they're chasing the dollars in order to try to survive, and that's not the way to go. But as they are going ahead and making purposeful plans, purposeful goals that support their strategic plan, their mission, and their objectives, then they will have and become that great nonprofit that they want to be. It never fails. I've seen it over and over. During my time at Elk County, I was over and had to approve all of the grant requests for, we had at that time over 100 grants that were activated through monies that was coming from the county. And in looking at the applications, that's what I was looking for, that they adhered to their values, they adhered to their mission, and they had plans that they were written in order to get where they wanted to be and not chasing the dollars.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because a lot of organizations, they just try to chase the dollars instead of sitting back and looking at where they are, what they need to do so that they can have that the goals that they've set for themselves. So that's good.
Yeah, right.
Now, what is – I know we talked about the difference between reacting, you know, a couple of days ago, reacting versus being proactive. Explain that a little bit in regards to working with nonprofits.
Yes. In fact, it has to do with how I answered the previous question. If you react to, let's say, a problem that you're having, let's say you see that you're running out of money, so you react, you're chasing the dollars. You're not being proactive by actually watching the dollars out into the future. There is a accounting tool in management accounting called a cash flow projection, and you must match the timing of your monies coming in and the timing of obligations and monies that go out so that you can be proactive and you know, let's say, 9 months from now, we're going to have a cash shortfall. And if you're proactive, then you know that we need to go look for grants. We need to go look for sources of capital. Let's say a line of credit. I would advise that nonprofits always have a line of credit with a bank or funders so that they know that they will need working capital, maybe during a season, let's say if you're an after-school program. And during the summer, every summer, you may not have that after-school program. So there may be 3 to 4 months that you're going to need cash for operations. So at that time, then with your cash flow projection and being proactive, you could make use either of the line of credit, or you could spread out how you make your payables so that you have sufficient money and not having more expenses than more money coming in during that period.
Okay. Okay. Now, Deborah, just in case our listeners may want to reach you after our show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Yes. They can contact me right now at most easily at my email address, which is Deborah@missioncfo.com. I'll spell that. It's Deborah, it's spelled D-E-B-O-R-A-H, at mission, M-I-S-S-I-O-N, C-F-O, dot com.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's
great,
the best
great.
Way. And then, after that time, after I get any contacts, I'll be letting them know more about my websites and other ways that we can possibly chat.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that would like to work with me, or because I'm trying to make sure that I make contributions to the community, I will
right.
be doing things that are free as well.
Okay, wonderful. Now, let me ask you, I know you've done both for-profit and now you're doing a lot more non-profit. Do you have a preference, non-profit over for-profit, or does it not matter?
Well, right now, just because of the name of my company, Mission CFO, I really have an affinity to organizations that really are proud to have a mission. Even though a mission statement is something that a for-profit has as well,
mm-hmm.
nonprofits are a little bit more, I would say, wedded to and committed to their commitment to have a mission to society or to their community.
Right.
In my role as a CFO, what is called is a double bottom line. You must have your finances, because bottom line is kind of accounting speak or accounting language for whether or not your bottom line shows if you're in the black or in the red. And then the double bottom line, or the second bottom line, has to do with how you are meeting your mission in quantitative terms.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you are a rescue mission and your goal is to make sure that you can feed 800 people every single day. So
mm-hmm.
that second bottom line will speak to whether or not you have met that goal of 100 meals every day, or if you met less, or if you made more.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay, great.
That's what excites me is, of course, the money. In my belief system is that money is a tool
mm-hmm.
to get what you want to have.
Right.
So the second bottom line is what you want to have,
mm-hmm.
hence Mission CFO. And the first bottom line has to do with your money and the finances for getting that second bottom line goal met.
Okay. Now, do you tend to, I guess you work with a variety of nonprofits. How about startups? Have you been working a lot more with startups or those that are more established?
Yes, I do work with startups just because I see the potential. If I
mm-hmm.
do locate a nonprofit that has potential to scale and they have a mission that society really needs, I will work with them. Although in the industry, in my financial industry for operations, usually a chief financial officer is usually the type of role or the type of finance executive or finance professional that you will bring on once your company becomes, let's say, more or less about $100 million.
Okay.
But of course, nonprofits don't start out with $100 million.
Right.
So people will see, once I can chat with them, the types of things that I will do with them so that they can afford the thinking power of a CFO, so that you can start just like what I said.
Okay.
Be, have, and do.
And do.
So I
mm-hmm.
give, I give I'm sorry, be, have, be, I'm
no,
sorry.
Be, do, and have.
Be, do, and have. In myself confused. Okay. Because mostly nonprofits starting off, they start off wanting to have, and then
right.
they be, they do and be. So exactly
right, right.
this is what I'm trying to do, even in my business, because this concept is really embedded, even though I got tongue-tied here, it's really embedded in the philosophy for my company. I want to help them, the leaders of the organization, or let's say the business owner, operator, to have a mindset of what a CFO can give them so that they can do, meaning they can operate and they can have operational activities that will actually lead them to having that large nonprofit or for-profit that they desired in the first place that
mm-hmm.
will meet their mission. So
okay.
I see so many times that small businesses and nonprofits, they run aground and they fail. As we know the statistics, you know,
mm-hmm.
most businesses don't even survive after 3 to 5 years.
Right, right.
A
yeah.
lot of it has to do because they're not being what they need to be in the beginning. And
right,
not
so they can do and have.
Do so that they can have what they need to have. So,
okay.
again, I'm really passionate about that concept. And as you can see, it makes a difference on how I am offering my services to clients. So, yes.
Okay.
Yes and double yes. I do
okay,
start
well.
With corporate startups.
Good. Recently, you had an accomplishment. You conducted a seminar earlier this month dealing with nonprofit financial management. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I did. I did a webinar for some nonprofit collaborative, and I let them know the basics of how they should start, just as what I just said a few seconds ago,
mm-hmm.
how they have to have the mindset starting out and the operational activities so that they can have what they wanted to have and meet the goal where they wanted to end up at.
Okay. Now, do you have plans for having any more webinars? That was your first one. You're going to have another one, right?
Oh, yes. There will be periodic workshops and webinars. And if anyone can contact me at Deborah@missioncfo.com, they'll learn more about the dates coming up.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Okay, that's great. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, so remember, if you're interested in knowing a little bit more about her upcoming webinars, you can always get in touch with her. What did you say, Deborah@missioncfo.com?
Yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful. So I'm really I've enjoyed our talk. You've really given some good information to people who have nonprofits. You know, nonprofit organizations are very important because there are people that have a passion for helping in their community, and I see that you have that passion, and that's wonderful, reaching out into the community and helping people. And that's great. So I hope everyone will get in touch with you at Deborah@missioncfo.com. She has a wealth of information to offer you. And thank you very much. But I want to say that's our show for today. And I'd like to say thank you to Ms. Deborah Mays for being our special guest today. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, as we are an international show. And after our show today, you can listen to Women Lead Radio on all subscription podcasts, specifically Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. We are expanding quickly to a daily radio show and podcast. So for now, we'll be back again for another live Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. It has been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.